My least favorite mode of communication is at a podium with a microphone. So I feel like saying, what have we heard the most since we've been at this presentation? Raise your hand if it's, I have nothing, no relationships, just it flows. So there's my attention getter. My students would be very happy. It was interesting when I walked in, someone had asked, where do you do your research? This is really not my research. What happens as an associate professor at the public health program, we had a person, an employee from the Compassionate Care Foundation, which is a medical marijuana dispensary in South Jersey, approach us. By law, they really only need to study the pain every 90 days, but this dispensary was interested in gathering some other research. And luckily, they knew enough to reach out and ask about creating a survey. So their first attempt was a little scary. So after meeting with them and ascertaining really what they wanted to get at, I developed a survey for them and thought that really that was my contribution, happy to help. Fast forward now 18 months later, I'm standing here because then I ended up getting all of their data and entering it and analyzing it for them too. So that's what happens when you say yes, then you jump onto something. So again, this, I have to sort of make a disclaimer, this was in no way a study. We are not trying to prove causality. There was no attempt for external validity. It was really just a few of the board members at this dispensary trying to get some more information from patients. They had reached out to other dispensaries in New Jersey and they weren't interested at this time in collecting data. Probably rightfully so. Obviously, you have enough going on with just the red tape of running the dispensary and getting the patients in there. At one point, they said to me in the middle of a transaction, their credit card just stopped working because the credit card company stopped once they realized what this business was. So I really applaud them for actually going above and beyond and trying to ascertain some of this information. So basically what they were interested in were these 12 variables: general condition, appetite, quality of life, intraocular pressure, pain, inflammation, nausea, spasms, mood, energy, mobility, and seizures. They also wanted to ask, once we did those, I did them in a 10-point Likert scale from a 1 to 10. They also wanted to get a little bit more information, again, all in one page. What diagnosis they were being treated for, how often were they using a medical marijuana on a daily basis, in what form, the strain, and again, did these changes, were they influenced over time? I also looked at, once the data was complete, that did it differ based on diagnosis, gender, or age. The study was supposed to last for a year, interestingly enough, just like a lot of the other kind of growing pains that they've had. The CEO changed about 8 months into the study, and immediately the study was dropped. So again, they asked me for kind of a synopsis that they could use when they went out to health fairs and to present to doctors and other practitioners to see what the benefit was, but then they weren't really interested in the data after that. So basically, there was 8 months of the study, and again, halfway through the study, they also added the Wong and Baker face pain rating scale to this one-page survey. The sample after 8 months, although the database ended up having 955 total patients, some of that database was database that they had given me originally. And then obviously some were new patients. Out of those, we had 501 patients at visit one, 290 patients at visit two, and 179 patients at visit three. And yes, I entered all of these surveys. So you can see, last year in January when I was freezing and my husband would come home and say, have you moved from that table? And I said, no, I haven't moved from this desk. And he said, I thought you were just developing a survey for them. Well, I was, but now I'm entering data for them too. So it sort of took on a life of its own. But interesting, some interesting findings came out of this. Again, we have a breakdown for gender. This again is voluntary. So people sometimes would fill it out, sometimes they wouldn't fill it out. There was no no coercion, no rewards, no punishments. So we really just took what we could get. We actually have up to visits 5 and 6, but the N was so small that we didn't run a regression repeat analysis. We really just didn't visit 1 to visit 3. And obviously we broke it down for age so you can see who the sample is. Out of the 798 conditions of that the responses, and again, some put multiple, these were the top 3 that were being treated for. In retrospect, going back, this chronic and severe pain should have obviously been broken down to what you were experiencing chronic and severe pain for. I think some of the diagnosis and what people indicated also goes by law about what you can be treated for medical marijuana. So this diagnosis, again, is self-report, and there are some, obviously, some issues with it, obviously not being as much descriptive as we would like, but I also think there could be some self-report bias going on here. The usage, which was interesting, was 3 or 4 times a day was the most, and the second was 1 to 2 times a day that people were using it. And the form, not surprisingly, 80% reported that they were smoking it. There was 25 different strains that were being used, but these were the top 3 that people reported. Various and mixed would be any type of response where they would give multiple strains that they were using. And again, use this could vary between visits. The 12 variables, the highest we had for visit 1 was increased mood, and the lowest of the decreased variables were the decrease in seizure pain was at about a 5.7. 85% didn't experience anything that they were not expecting, and about 50% reported that they indicated that they reduced pain medication. Similar results were seen, quality of life became the highest at the visit 2. Again, still a little bit decrease in pain. A high percentage of people didn't experience anything, and an increase in other medication had been dropped up to 62%. Visit 3, we still see mood and decrease in seizures. Pain, again, still slightly going down. A little bit of an increase, but roughly the same, that they didn't experience any unexpected consequences, and we're still roughly at that 50 to 60% indicated that they reduced pain medication. Here were the repeat analysis that we did from time 1 to time 2, and you can see that there was significance in 8 different variables. An increase in general condition, a decrease in inflammation, a decrease in intraocular pressure, a decrease in spasms, a decrease in seizures, an increase in mobility, an increase in mood, and a decrease in pain was significant from time 1 to time 2. Again, even though the N had reduced now to around 179 for the third visit, we still saw a decrease in seizures, a decrease in pain, an increase in energy, that was different from the first time, decrease in spasms, decrease in intraocular pressure, a decrease in nausea, and an increase in mobility from time 1 to time 2. And there was a few quadratic and linear, but in the ones, I think there was only one that was both, the sums of the square are obviously much more accounted for in the linear than the quadratic. So basically the results were, when we factored in by age and by diagnosis, there was no difference, meaning that people who, depending on their diagnosis, but again, we have that problem with how they were diagnosed and what they reported was their diagnosis, there were no differences found. So, and then there was also no differences for age. And again, the way age was broken down was in groups of ages. So this could be further looked into depending on getting equal samples for different age groups. There were 3 differences based on gender. There was a decrease in inflammation was higher for women, and an increase in mood was also higher for women. But men found an increase in energy. Those were the only 3 differences when you took gender into consideration from time 1 to time 3. The discussion basically is that the results kind of provide some interesting information about people who are using medical marijuana, especially in the light that this is really new, and given the history with this with marijuana and the fact that it is such a new thing as this medical marijuana that we don't know a whole lot about it. People are using it 3 to 4 times a day, numerous diagnoses, but again, in this particular study, we didn't find a difference based on diagnosis. The most common is smoking, which again is not very optimal due to other health associations with smoking medical marijuana. So I think this is something that definitely needs to be looked into, that if people are going to be using this, that you may be using medical marijuana to help in one thing, but you may be causing some other medical problems by the fact that you're using it in this type of form. A great thing was that they decreased other medications and very few unexpected side effects. One of the only things that was mentioned was that they had better sleep. So I think that was kind of interesting that even though most people didn't experience anything unexpected, they did have and were sleeping more and better, which kind of makes sense. And they increased in general conditions like energy, mood, mobility, decrease in inflammation, decrease in spasms, seizures, intraocular pressure, inflammation, nausea, and obviously in pain. We obviously need a better understanding. This is, again, by no means a causal study. This is not meant to be a causal study. These are just some correlations. But it really sheds some light on the possible therapeutic values, and it supports that medical marijuana may be an effective option versus some prescription drugs, especially in the light of the problems with prescription drugs. I think this study contributes to the need to reclassify medical marijuana to Schedule 2. This reclassification obviously will justify and highlight the therapeutic health values of it, but then it will also open up a world of research that can be done on this. So again, this study just supports the positive therapeutic values and the benefits of medical marijuana in subjects in South Jersey. It has obviously a tremendous amount of methodological limitations, but despite that, I think that it contributes to the body of research and hopefully eventually to the reclassification of medical marijuana and the continuation of research on such an important subject. Thank you.